Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to be with you wherever you are in the world, and of course it's Christmas time and it will be the beginning of 1,917 years since our Creator God took on a human body in Bethlehem. That's what the Bible is all about. The Bible says, "A body hast thou made me." And the Bible says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be the least among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth who shall rule my people Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." And it was only God that existed through all of time past. So God Almighty took on a human body, and so he took it to come to this earth and grow up and then die on the cross and pay for all of our sins, so that we can meet God in great joy without any record we've ever sinned. And so Christmas is a time of joy because God gave his most wonderful gift to us, and we can rejoice in our great and glorious Savior who is with us and said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." But before we get into our program, we're going to have our scientist and resident, Pastor Al Davis, to give us a report on science in the Bible.
Well, thank you, Brother Bruce, and again, good to be with you here on the program today. And just a reminder before we look at that you can find, of course, more about Bruce Musselman by going online at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And there's past programs there. There's some information about Bruce Musselman and some other materials by him, a little booklet reprinted on there that you can also look at that kind of got him started, called Correcting the King James Bible. You can find that there. And Bruce, how long ago did you write that? Do you remember when that was you wrote that booklet?
Well, maybe 35 years ago.
Probably more than that. Was it back in the 70s?
Well, it could have been that early, sometime around 80s.
Yeah, or the early 80s, I guess, something like that. So, but it's been out there for a while, so I encourage people to go to whereisgodsword.com and read your booklet, Correcting the King James Bible, and also see some more of your materials that are there. So,
you know, also I have, I think we have that advertised on there, but I have a history of Christianity from the time of Christ till the present. It's history of the Baptist churches, which were the apostolic churches that had continued on all through the ages where we got our Bibles. They were the ones that copied the true text we find in the King James Bible. So if you'd like to know where you come from, then you could get those tapes too.
Right, right. And also some materials on Bible prophecy as well. So that's a good resource. That's a good resource. So I encourage people to check that out at whereisgodsword.com. Well, I wanted to share something here today. I was actually reading about a particular individual called Matthew Murray. And Matthew Murray is a very interesting individual. In fact, he is well known as an American astronomer, historian, oceanographer, meteorologist, cartographer. And a cartographer is just a fancy name for a person who draws maps and charts and things like that. And he was in the Navy, in the American Navy, in the early 1800s. But due to health, he had to leave the Navy. And as a result of that, I think he had actually broken a leg, which caused some problems. He wasn't able to go out to sea anymore. But he studied navigation, meteorology, winds, and ocean currents, and he has became a very interesting individual because we credit him with being the man that charted the paths of the sea. And this is obviously other people noticed, I think, even going back as far as Benjamin Franklin and even beyond, people understood that there were certain things that were done and Benjamin Franklin probably had the first chart showing the Gulf Stream. But this particular individual here, Matthew Murray, he is one who took literally the Bible. He was a Bible-believing Christian, and in Psalm 8 and verse 8, he was ill, and I believe it was his niece or somebody was reading to him. I forget who the young lady was that was reading to him, and she was reading the Psalm 8, and when he read in Psalm 8, verse 8, it says, "The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea." And he began looking at that and thinking about that, and he said that if God gave him his strength back, he was going to find those paths of the sea, and that he would chart them. And this is really interesting, because in the state of Virginia, you can actually find a monument built, and this monument has a number of things on it. That's it's very interesting. You can find it at Monument Avenue in Richmond, Virginia, actually, at the west end of Monument Avenue there in Richmond. And he's given the title there, Pathfinder of the Seas. And under his right hand, he's seated on a seat on this monument. Under his right hand, he has a pencil and a compass. Under his left hand, he has some sea charts. And then what's really interesting is if you look closely down beside his left foot, it's and just above where it says Murray, Pathfinder of the Seas, there's a Bible that's a part of this this monument. He's got a Bible right there next to him. And that reflects in this thing. And then, of course, above it, there's some people and a globe showing the seas of the world. And Matthew Murray saw this, and it's really interesting because as he began studying that, he also looked not only at Psalm 8 in verse 8 where it talks about the paths of the sea, but he also saw in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 in verse number 6 where it says, "The wind goeth toward the north or south and turneth about unto the north, it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to its his circuits." And he used these two verses to study prevailing wind streams, wind directions, and ocean currents, and he was able to produce a number of charts showing some of the great ocean currents of the world along with the prevailing wind. And this information, when he got it all together, and of course he uses to map out not only the Gulf Stream that many of us are familiar with, but also another one called the Japanese Current, also the California Current, and a number of other ones. And using this information on ocean currents and wind prevailing winds, he was able to reduce by as much as 3 weeks the time that it took in the 1800s to cross the oceans. And you know, they were sailing ships at that time, and it took a certain amount of time, and they had to fight with the winds and ocean currents. And on the basis of that, he saved a lot of money, a lot of time, and probably a lot of lives, and improved the health of sailors and things as he mapped these things out. And so the monument there in Virginia says, "Matthew Fontaine Murray, Pathfinder of the Seas, the genius who first snatched from the oceans and atmosphere the secret of their laws, his inspiration, Holy Writ, Psalm 8:8, Ecclesiastes 1:6. Isn't that interesting? A Bible-believing Christian who gave so much to the world that the state of Virginia recognized it with this monument. And again, science in the Bible.
Well, that's great. And of course, we know that the Bible is true. When we talk about the Bible here, we're talking about the King James Bible. That's the preserved Word of God.
Right. And that's what he used.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, God says, "I've honored my word above all my, magnified my word above all my name," and there's only one book that's ever magnified above all God's name. That's the King James Bible. Well, we're going to talk today again about the Christmas story because that's coming up and real soon. And so one of the great passages of Scripture is found in Luke chapter 1, in verse 46. And here it says here, Mary said, so we're going to see what Mary says. Now, this is the real Mary of history, the young woman that was a godly woman that was blessed by the Lord, but it was not the goddess Mary, but it was the godly Mary, the goddess Mary, where they apply the worship of Isis to her. Is that true? But she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and that is with all her heart and soul. She praises, honors, and glorifies God because she knew God and she walked close to God. You know, when you know God and you know who he is, you praise and honor him. You know, people today, young people, they see football stars, movie stars, rock stars, all kinds of singers, and they are impressed by them, they're excited by them, and so they talk about them and praise them. But Mary, she saw who God really was, and when you see that, she magnified the Lord. She wanted to talk about her Lord. And she says, and here's what she says about him, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. A spiritual, we have a spiritual part of our being, and you know, your body, soul, and spirit, and one of the reasons people are so miserable, their bodily needs can be met, but and their social needs can be met, but if their spiritual needs, the God part of them is not met, they'll be miserable. And you have to have all three of them met. You have to have physical needs, your social needs, and have friends, and you have to have food and clothes, and but you have to have the God part of your needs met. And today, so many young people are committing suicide because they haven't met the Lord. They haven't had fellowship with the Lord, and there's no need for committing suicide when you know the Lord. And so Mary says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. I met the Lord, and I think that he's wonderful. I think that he's great. I think he's tremendous. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, she's saying she's rejoicing. You know, Christmas time is the rejoicing. Why? God gave the best gift that he had to us. That's why we give out gifts. And we remember the fact that God's great gift was Jesus. And that gift was found in the scripture verse we learned in Sunday school. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? Because Jesus, he said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Because we have sinned, there is a payment for our sin the law demands, and that is death, hell, and separation from God. But Jesus made the payment 2,000 years ago. And so she says here that her soul magnifies the Lord, and spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Now, the Mary of Isis worship, the goddess Mary, that, according to that, she doesn't need a Savior. But the real Mary, the godly Mary that gave birth to Jesus, she said she needed a Savior. You see, we need a Savior because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there must be a payment for sin. And Mary said she had a Savior, and she rejoiced in God my Savior. But he not only saves us from the penalty of sin, but he saves us from the power of sin. I was talking to a lady at St. Luke's Hospital, and on the other side of the counter, and I said, Jesus is the living God. He can do anything. He's alive today. And she said, that's right. He took me off of crack cocaine without even going through withdrawal symptoms. And if you know something about drugs, that's one of the most addictive drugs there is. But Jesus has the power to liberate you or free you from any kind of an addiction, no matter what it is. Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. What is he talking about, freedom? He means freedom from the power of sin. Most of the time, people today use word as freedom as free to sin, but sin, God gives you the choice. You can sin, but there is the consequence for that sin, and you don't have a choice with the consequence, because once you do it, then there's the consequence for what you do. And so the consequence with a lot of drugs, and today it astounds me the number of people dying of drugs. A policeman just told me in Cuyahoga County where I live today, that 460 young people, I believe it was last year, died of a drug overdose. And I thought, isn't that horrible? But if you're on drugs today or on liquor, you can't get away from it or smoking or whatever it is, or pornography. Let me tell you today that Jesus has the power to free you. That's why he said he came to set the captives free. And so she rejoices in God, her Savior. He saved us from the penalty of sin. He saved us from the power of sin. You know, not only that, he said that Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. And, you know, you may have a broken heart of something that happened to you. Maybe a wife, a girlfriend has left you or died, or a father, mother has died. But, you know, Jesus said he came to heal your brokenhearted. I remember one time I was preaching in Akron, and I used to stay at the deacon, and his wife would entertain me. And his wife was very close to her mother, and she talked to her mother all the time. But she also had a problem because she didn't have a baby, and she wanted a baby so bad, and she was praying for a baby. Well, anyway, her mother suddenly died, and she was a very close friend to her, and her heart was broken because of that. Suddenly, she had an announcement that God gave her a baby. See, Jesus is—he's all powerful. He's here to heal your brokenhearted, and so she says she rejoices. Christmas time is such a time of rejoicing. I was in a Kmart, and I heard that song that was being sung, and I just was rejoicing so much. And when I heard it, I just was so thankful to the Lord. I went to one of the clerks there, and I said, yeah, Christmas, it's really wonderful to hear that song. And she said, that's right. You see, God, you know, the Bible says about heaven, the eye hath not seen, neither hath the ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that walk upright. But God has showed it unto us. And there's times when we get together and talk about Jesus and sing about Jesus, we have a taste of the joy unspeakable of heaven. And only in heaven it's just going to be totally continuous all the time. So she said she's rejoicing. And I hope that this Christmas you can rejoice that you have a Savior. You know, one teacher in Russia, she said to her students, she said, Jesus loves you, he died for you, and he will stay with you and help you the rest of your life. You know, that's a wonderful message, and we can rejoice in that. And that's true about you, you say. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm willing to repent, accept you as my Lord. He's the head of my life, my God. I believe you died for me. Forgive me and save me. Jesus, please come into my life. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And that's what the thief said. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So you can rejoice this Christmas. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. Oh, she might have been just a teenage girl that wasn't respected, but I'll tell you, she's blessed. And I want to tell you something. When you accept Jesus Christ, you become God's part of his forever family. You become a child of God. And I'll tell you, that is a blessing. You get all the blessings of Abraham, all the blessings of knowing God, the blessings of a new body, the blessings of joy, unspeakable, the blessings of peace, the blessings of forgiveness, the blessings of a home in heaven. And David said, kiss the son, lest he be angry. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That's King David. He said, put your trust in Jesus. And so then it says, Mary goes on, for that he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Now, I talked to one young man, I picked him up, and he says, well, my teacher said that the virgin birth isn't scientific, so we shouldn't believe in it, basically. Well, all of creation isn't scientific. No, all the scientists in the world can't even produce one blade of grass. No, God who made it, the angel told Mary when she said, how will this be? Mary says, with God, all things are possible. God made the womb. God made creation. God made the life cycle. He made the universe. He could easily create a child in the womb of Mary, which he did. And the proof of it is when Jesus grew up, he demonstrated the power of God. Everywhere he went, he could raise the dead, heal the sick, control nature. He had absolute total power over everything. She says, for he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. You know what? No matter what you have done in your past, if you come to God and repent, you're willing to turn from it. You're sorry for what you did. Sorry enough with God's help to turn from your sin. God's mercy will be on you. You know, Peter betrayed Jesus, and yet Jesus forgave him. And the people that even had crucified Jesus, D.L. Moody said, the spear they put in his side, Jesus would have turned it into a scepter that they could have ruled with him. The crown of thorns that they put on his head, he would have given them crowns. And the crucifixion that he did, he died in our place. You know, we need to tell people this. We need to spread the news to all generations. His mercy is from generation to generation. His mercy will be on anybody. If you cut off somebody's head, you repent of that sin and come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. You don't have to have the angels beat you, or you don't even have to kill somebody to make sure you have eternal life. In fact, if you do and you don't come to Jesus, you'll have hell. You will wake up in paradise. You'll wake up in hell. But Jesus wants you to go to heaven, and it's your choice. You want to go to heaven, come to Jesus. Now it says that mercy is on them that fear him. We start the beginning of wisdom is fear God. He has the power of death and of life, of heaven and hell. And it says from generation to generation, he has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things. You know, the Lord's going to be a father to us when we get saved. And he can take care of us. You think the one that runs this universe can't take care of us? It says he feeds the birds, and he certainly can feed us, and he knows every bird that falls, and he said he knows the hairs on our head. And so he'll take care of us. That's the great thing. And he has sent away rich, empty away. Those that are proud, you know, they're losing it. You can be proud and reject Christ. You can be in your arrogance and reject him. Well, you'll lose eternal life. You'll spend eternity away from God. He hath hope in his servant Israel. He's helped Israel. They're scattered all over the world, and he's brought them back to the land. And then they tried to wipe them out, and he's helped them every time, and they're still there. And they will be there forever in remembrance of his mercy. Now, they sinned against God, but he has mercy on them. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed, as he spake to our fathers and Abraham, to his seed forever. In other words, God never gave up on Israel. And there's people that teach that today. You know what their problem is? They just don't believe the Bible. This is a program of Bible believers. And we have the Bible with us in the King James today. And James says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. I'm looking at a King James Bible. And this is the one Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and a stranger will not they not follow. And there's been 5 billion copies of this printed, and every generation comes back to it, no matter what all the propaganda to the contrary, what all the ignorant, proud preachers that try to recommend counterfeit Bibles. And so it says, and Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now, she said this when she was with Elizabeth. But you know, we can thank God today. That's what we're rejoicing about. And Jesus said, you don't rejoice over the miracles that you can do, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, say, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins and remember me and take me to heaven. And the thief said that to Jesus, and Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today this is going to be a new Christmas for you, a Christmas when you're brought into God's family, God's forever family. And I tell you, I got saved when I was small, but I've never been sorry. I tell people, I'm a satisfied customer. And it's a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Receive him today and have the greatest Christmas in your life, Christmas that'll go on through all eternity. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.